Hello everyone, my name's Ian Thomas. I'm presenting my PhD work on identifying critical source areas of phosphorus transfers in agricultural catchments using water extractable pea and LiDAR DMs. I'd like to thank my extensive list of supervisors and co-authors and people that have helped on the project over the last 4 years. And I was part of CHAGIS, part of the Agricultural Catchments Programme down in Wexford, Ireland. So just background theory to critical source areas and hydrologically sensitive areas before I go into what I did to create my critical source area index. So nutrient transfer continuum, in order for there to be phosphorus losses and impacts, you need a source, it needs to be mobilised, then transported, and the pathway needs to be hydrologically connected to the surface or groundwater before it can be delivered. So critical source area theory essentially is the where you coincide a large pollutant source with high mobilisation risk and high transport risk and hydrological connectivity. And where those areas coincide, you have a critical source area. And these are the areas at highest risk of diffuse pollutant transfers. They transfer disproportionate amounts of pollutants to water bodies. They cause eutrophication and water quality impacts, and they must be accurately identified and mitigated. And targeting measures at these CSAs, critical source areas, is most cost effective. And a background on the hydrologically sensitive area, which is essentially this third circle here. Essentially, it's where saturation excess overland flow or infiltration excess Hortonian overland flow occur. That creates a hydrologically active area, but where you get a topographic barrier, such as a flow sink, it will impede flow. And so that's the difference between a hydrologically active area and a hydrologically sensitive area, which is what we want to identify. So hydrologically active area will generate overland flow, but only a hydrologically sensitive area will generate surface runoff. So first I'm going to talk about the P transport component of my CSA index for the P source and mobility aspects. So, and before that, I just want to mention the study sites that we use in the agricultural catchments program. There were four that we used in Ireland, two arable, predominantly arable catchments, and two predominantly grassland catchments. Arable A is well-drained soils, and arable B is mixed-drained soils. Grassland A is well-drained soils, and grassland B predominantly poorly-drained soils. And these catchments were about 7.5 to 11 kilometres squared in size. So we collected high-resolution LiDAR digital elevation models for each catchment. They're approximately 40 points per square metre, and we created 0.25 metre squared LiDAR DEMs for each catchment from that point density cloud. So essentially for every 25 centimetres squared grid cell, we have a topographic elevation value. And for our P transport component, we use the soil topographic index, log alpha over tan beta minus log KSD. So alpha is the cumulative upslope drainage area, and beta is the slope, surface slope at that point in the landscape. KS is the mean saturated hydraulic conductivity, and D is the soil depth to the restrictive layer. So there's two components to this soil topographic index. It's the topographic wetness index component and the soil water storage capacity component. Now, in order to model the topographic wetness index phenomenon, we had to investigate what was the optimal DEM resolution for our agricultural catchments. Our catchments were have a lot of micro topography, such as hedgerows and depressions in them, which will manipulate the surface runoff pathways. So it's important to identify the appropriate DEM to use to model that topographic wetness index component. So we identified optimal resolutions of between 1 and 2 meters, which are here. So essentially, they're a balance between needing to model the surface runoff pathways that are affected by microtopography, such as hedges here or roads, and the more natural hill slope scale movement of flow, subsurface flow, that's captured in 5 meter DEMs, which don't capture any of the microtopography. And if you go any higher resolution than 1 meter, the high topographic noise tends to distort flow pathways that tend to be too fine a scale to actually realistically model the flow within the landscape. So here's our soil topographic index maps for each of our four catchments. Grassland B, which had more poorly drained soils, had the higher STI values, i.e. these higher values indicate higher runoff propensity. Now, we also need to consider hydrological connectivity within this P-transport component of the CSDA index, so pits and depressions and peaks such as hedgerows, which are impeding flow and preventing P losses from the soil to reaching the rivers. So we extract the flow sinks from our high-resolution LiDAR DMs. We use the 0.25 meter DM to extract these flow sinks. And just to give an illustration of the volume total volume capacity, that can be up to, I think it was around over 20 Olympic-sized swimming pools of potential surface runoff that could be captured. Obviously, not all these flow sinks are within runoff pathways, but just to give an illustration of how the importance of flow sinks in our catchments. So what we did then is we tried to go next step to the soil topographic index where we account for these flow sinks. So what we do is once we've extracted these flow sinks, we model the upstream drainage areas to those flow sinks. We know the volume capacity of the sink, and from rainfall and quick flow measurements in our catchments, we can predict the overland flow generation within the highest in the areas with the highest soil topographic index values. We can predict the overland flow that's draining into that flow sink, and if the flow sink is large enough to capture all that overland flow, then we reduce the STI values upslope of that flow sink, so it's no longer considered a high runoff potential. So the rainfall runoff data that we use in the agricultural catchments program was based on catchment outlet data, high resolution sub-hourly data captured every 10 minutes, and we use hydrograph and loadograph separation techniques from Perek, Melander, et al. 2011-12 and 14 papers, where you look at the inflection points of the hydrograph or the loadograph, and you separate the discharge according to base flow, interflow, and quick flow. And the quick flow we assumed is the surface runoff, although there will be some pathways that contribute to that which aren't considered in this study. So this is the HSA index that we create for the CSA index that I'm going to talk about in a little while. So it's essentially the soil topographic index, but the areas with them in green have basically STI values reduced because there are flow sinks in these areas that are impeding flow. Here's just an example of a HSA map, and we went out and validated these using field observations of surface runoff during storm events. Now, HSA is essentially a dominant factor of critical source areas. So when we looked at the median daily total reactive phosphorus concentration in quick flow or in runoff at the catchment outlets for each catchment, and we during the closed periods for fertilizer spreading. So in Ireland, essentially in the winter periods, they prevent farmers from applying inorganic manures or inorganic fertilizers. And so if you look at the concentration of TRP coming out at the outlet for each catchment, you see, for example, Grassland A has higher total reactive P concentrations, whereas Grassland B, for example, is third lowest. But when you look at the actual loads, Grassland B is actually the highest loads coming out of the outlets, and Grassland A is third lowest. So that gives an indication that the runoff that's being generated in Grassland B, as you saw from the earlier maps of soil topographic index maps, where Grassland B had the higher STI values and again the higher HSA index values, you see that this runoff potential is driving the actual loads coming out of the catchment rather than the concentration. So now just the P source and mobility factor of my critical source area index. So essentially from the David Wall et al. 2012 paper, he collected stratified soil samples for each catchment and looked at the relationship between Morgan P concentration. Morgan P is the soil test P used in Ireland, and he related that to water extractable P concentration. And you see catchment-specific differences. particularly arable A, which has a lower release of water extractable P for a given Morgan P concentration compared to the other three catchments, and that's statistically significant. We then also separate this data out into land use types, so grass and soils and arable soils. And you, again, you see the arable soils tend to have a lower release of water extractable P for a given Morgan P concentration compared to grass and soils. This can be due to natural soil chemistry differences, aluminium, iron, that's being investigated currently in the agricultural catchments program, but also can be differences with things like P stratification stratification of organic matter at the surface of grass and soils, which are more weakly tend to create more weakly bound P in the surface layer compared to if it's incorporated in tillage soils in the subsurface mineral layers. So when we look at the agronomic versus environmental soil test P, so agronomic is the Morgan P and environmental STP is the water extractable P, and we use those catchment and land use specific relationships for each field, we can see that fields with high Morgan P concentrations in arable A actually have low water extractable P concentrations, and vice versa in grass and B, where you tend to have higher water extractable P concentrations even though the Morgan's P concentrations are lower, as shown by this relationship where the grass and B soils tend to have higher WEP release for a given Morgan P concentration. So when you also then look at the catchment outlet TRP concentrations in quick flow, you see that the Morgan P agronomic soil P test has a lower the relationship is poorer with the TRP concentration coming out at the outlets when you consider all four catchments compared to the water extractable P concentration, which gives a higher correlation of 0.73. So we used water extractable P to predict dissolved P losses in runoff in our CSA index. So essentially then the CSA index uses the water extractable P concentration. We use the relationship here to predict the dissolved P concentration in runoff. And then we multiply that by our HSA index values. So essentially the CSA index is a proxy of runoff P load equals runoff P concentration times runoff volume. So the HSA index is essentially a steady state runoff proxy. And so because we're using water extractable P, that's the large mobile soil P source. Here are the CSA index maps for our catchments. Essentially we use a threshold of greater than or equal to 0.5 to identify CSAs. Here is an example in grass and B, one of the nicest areas to look at. Essentially, the areas in red are predicted to have higher, they are higher CSA index values, so they're predicted to have higher runoff P loads. And you can see that using this high topographic data, we can identify CSAs at the subfield scale, and you can also clearly see the runoff pathways. Now, areas in green are where there's HSAs, but low P mobility, so low water extractable P. And in terms of this topic of this conference, where you can where you identify areas that are in green or particularly areas that don't have any CSA index values, so are hydrologically insensitive, you can start to see where you can apply your excess manure. And importantly also, you can see delivery points where runoff pathways, CSA pathways are being delivered to the stream, which is, or ditch network, which is in black. So for example, this field, this entire field is draining into one delivery point. There's also breakthrough points across hedgerows between fields. So you can target measures at these locations, and it can be a lot more cost effective than blanket measures such as riparian buffer strips. So in conclusion, 1 to 2 meter LiDAR DMs are optimal in our catchments to model runoff pathways, HSAs and CSAs. And flow six represent existing pre-existing measures that are preventing P losses. Water extractable P was preferential compared to agronomic soil P tests, and HSAs are a dominant CSA factor, which can override source pressures. And importantly, the CSA index identified smaller areas compared to an agronomically, just using agronomic soil P tests, where you identify the fields that are above agronomic optimum. Those were predicted to be between 4 and 26% of the catchment, whereas the CSANX predicts smaller areas that are actually at risk of runoff P losses. So therefore, you can start to target measures just at those risky areas. And so many areas with excessive soil P concentrations aren't at risk of surface P losses due to low mobility or runoff potential, and vice versa. And CSA maps can be used for targeting measures and especially at delivery points. Thank you very much. Here are my papers for that.